am Farhana Sheikh and you are watching Notepad. Today we are inside the Malaysia Pavilion during Expo 2020 Dubai. This week is the Malaysia Digital Economy Week, where this pavilion showcases Malaysia's digital investment opportunities and many digital companies across Malaysia to showcase here to the people around the world. So today we have with us the CEO of Freya Capital Sdn Bhd, Ms. Emilia Tan. Thank you for joining us today, Ms. Emilia.
Thank you for having me, Farhana.
So, first of all, Freya Capital Sdn Bhd is a Malaysian startup that focuses on using its AI technology to improve support services ranging from financial services and later expanding more to other industries. So,
That's
can you
correct.
Please tell us more about what Freya is really about and what's the goal in establishing Freya?
Freya Capital was built on a foundation and the belief that everyone in our community deserves hope and a chance to sustainable livelihood, right? So guided by UNESCO's SDG goals, we design an ecosystem that is multifaceted in the industry, you know, and of course to do it in today's age and time, we realized that technology would be the most powerful tool or the most essential tool to get things out to the people on the ground fast, you know, and efficiently.
Okay.
So that forms Freya.
So, like you said just now, Freya has developed its own AI engine, and that's something that is amazing for us to take note of. So, this AI engine is aim to help serve for now in financial services. So can you tell us more about what is the financial support? What is the financial services that AI technology specifically does?
Well, AI is generally a very broad word that is being utilized. So for us, when we started with developing this technology, we first narrowed down with fintech, right? And again, fintech is pretty broad. So our focus to start with is the micro-lending sector for the underserved and underbanked communities firstly in Malaysia and later on to be expanded across the region. Because one of the very thing that we realized when we were scouring the market to find out what's happening in the industry is that these underserved and underbanked communities in our country, out of our population of over 30 million people, slightly above 40% are in the B40 categories who has no access to financial or finance facilities from financial institutions in our country solely because they do not have a legitimate credit score, right? And that in itself becomes it's already the requirement of any financial institution. That's the first thing they look for. So how then do they get access to this thing? So the first problem that we would aim to solve in this aspect is to create a digital financial footprint for this community to start them off first with using a AI powered in-house built psychometric behavior system, right, that helps them into it. And apart from using technology, creating that, assessing their behavior or scoring, because we also found that when it comes to this community of people, the B40s especially, right, it's never really about their ability or affordability to make payments. It's about the willingness to pay. And this in itself, one of the reasons why a lot of people call this category a very high risk category, because with no scoring, with no nothing, how do you, for lenders, right, to institutions, how do I know I'm going to recover the loan that I got out? So the first thing is risk assessment, okay, and secondly is to assess fraud and intention to fraud before processing the loan.
So it's more like a preemptive measures.
It's preemptive measures.
Yeah. Right? All right, okay, so today specifically, you have signed an MOU, building a strategic alliance with National Bonds UAE to develop a trading platform called Al Manasa Sukuk Trading Platform in Malaysia. So this initiative is a game changer. So do you mind explaining to us a little bit, how was it a game changer in the Islamic finance world?
Well, first and foremost, the strategic alliance that Freya Capital has with National Bonds Corporation today is to bring the Al-Manasah Sukuk trading platform, an AI-powered Sukuk trading platform, the first in the UAE, all right, that powers Sukuk trading 24/7, all right, and it with its efficiency, technology, and speed to market, because the conventional way of doing Sukuk is like you have to follow financial banking hours and whatnot. And also, in line with what Freya's goal with, and for also for NBC, this is where we are all about social impact and social investment. So we're hoping that with this MOU that is signed and bringing this platform, it will not just talk about investments, all right, to raise investments or to support micro SMEs or SME businesses in the country, but also to support and to incur a savings culture within the community in Malaysia. And we're talking about savings, not just for just corporates and stuff like that, but for everyday people, and to encourage that financial literacy and inclusivity amongst the B40s, the underserved and unbanked communities in the country, using that platform.
Okay, so I guess touching on the platform a little bit more, I guess, it's looking like, you know, Freya's role in the Islamic finance world, is the company looking to transform the Islamic digital economy landscape in Malaysia? What are the steps that it's taking besides, you know, this particular platform?
I wouldn't be so bold to say that Freya is going to transform the landscape or, you know, the Islamic digital economy or financial in Malaysia, but I would say that with this alliance that we have with the National Bonds in UAE, and for Freya bringing this Al-Manasah platform to Malaysia, we want to use it to complement what the initiatives that we have in our country, right, for Islamic digital economy. And hoping that especially we know that there will be, for example, digital banks in Malaysia that will be announced soon, up to 5 digital banks in the country, right? And the idea of digital banks originally was to serve the underserved communities as well in the country. So to use this platform, all right, and its multiple products availability, maybe to start first with digital banks, to work with digital banks, to work with financial institutions, and also at the very same time to provide a platform where governments or government-linked entities can actually create products, you know, for the people on the ground to utilize. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, what is the company's aim with initiatives such as this? Is there, you know, expansion in the pipeline as well to cover other industries, other support, other services?
With the Sukuk platform?
Not just with the Sukuk platform, with you know, state of the art AI technology as well. Mm-hmm. So, what is the company's aim in terms of expanding it to be used for other industries, for other purposes?
So, as I mentioned earlier, right, we found that the approach when you utilize AI or even technology, more often than not, people think in silo. So, when you think finance, it's just skewed towards finance. Whereas we realize that for it to work, it has to be across multiple industry. So, while we first start with fintech, the next step that we're going to go into is health tech or medical tech. And then, of course, what is also very important is education tech, education. Because I see it as, if we want to create inclusivity, if you want to create a community that is resilient, you require education, you require medical and health. And of course, to enable this, you require finance, right? So this then forms that structured ecosystem to hopefully be able to take that first step to addressing the issues that we want to address.
Yep. I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess when we're talking about advanced technologies such as AI and big data and all that, and when you say, you know, we're serving communities that are, you know, micro, that are micro lenders and all that. So data and privacy have always been an issue even for people, everyday people like us, we are always concerned about our data. We're all concerned that, you know, people are stealing stealing our information, you know, out there. So how do we ensure confidence for users that their data is protected? You know, when people say AI and big data, they get afraid that somebody's going to steal their information. So how do we instill confidence in them that that's not the case?
That is a very interesting question, and I will be very honest with you. Even for someone who is in this industry, and especially when dabbling with technology and building all these systems, right, I myself am afraid too. You know, like especially when I download apps or anything, you go like, "What are the things?"
That's not super thing for normal everyday people like us.
Yes, no, but that's not what I'm trying to say. But what I'm trying to get by is, while we, I think there's two prongs to this. Number one is, let's talk about the users first, right? Users needs to be educated, right? They need to be educated about what kind of data they are releasing, to grant their permissions, all these things they need to know, right? And I think that when it comes to that, when we want to be compliant with GDPRs or data, or PDPA as we call it in Malaysia, your data privacy and stuff like that, you know, technology providers also needs to be educated. And to, in terms of like, yeah, you have everything in your hands, right? But you also the responsible ownership of data. You know, it takes two hands to clap, right? So, and for us, what we do is we make sure, because especially with AI, for it to really work, you need to have real data, you know, as much data as possible. So first and foremost is to safeguard our security infrastructure, all right? To have multiple layers of security, not just one, you know, to make sure that that is safe. And also to ensure that whatever that we are collecting and using is for that same purpose, you know. And moving forward also, I think that this thing does not just lie in the hands of users. It needs, it's a collaborative effort. Users, technology providers or service providers, and also our regulators, right? How we can actually work together to continuously look into enhancing this kind of security, to enhancing how perhaps guidelines and policies, and to continuously look into it. That's what I think it's going to be, because as long as there's data out there, that's always something that it's going to be.
You always have to be mindful, I guess.
Get mindful about it.
As users and also as companies are producing it, right?
Yeah.
So I guess moving on, looking again at the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. So how does the usage of technology such as AI and big data help to build resilient economy?
AI and big data. Well, I think it's not, for me, my opinion is technology is just a tool. Data is information. AI, it's a tool or a medium that we utilize to process and to continuously learn. In terms of transforming a resilient, or using technology to transform and to create resilient economy or communities, first and foremost, I see it as for users wise, or for businesses wise, right? Technology makes things more efficient. You're able to move faster, you know. But again, when AI comes into play, there is always this fear that, you know, people say when you start talking about technology, like when you talk about a digital transformation, IR 4.0, 5.0, whatever it is, people are afraid of losing their job. Is technology going to replace me?
Yes, definitely.
Right. That is a genuine fear.
It's a genuine fear, yeah.
So, but the thing here is, I always say that, no, technology does not replace you. It makes your work more efficient. It gets you to move faster, because even with AI, right, machine learning takes time. But there are certain things that technology cannot do and cannot replace our human abilities and capabilities, especially, for example, your creativity, how you look at things in a different way, right? So, and it from there, with technology in the picture, it also helps people go like, you know what, while it makes my work more efficient, right, it also gives me different channels to then to think out of the box, to explore and to then develop new skill sets, right? So, and nowadays it's no longer limited to having just a degree in IT to be in tech, for example, but because it's available everywhere. Okay, so soft skills and also building jobs, more creation.
Now, you know, as a Malaysian startup, you know, such a big idea and a big initiative would require a lot of support. So tell me, who helped to get the ground running?
Well, like I said, there are a lot of people who helped us, but I must say that MDEC has played a very pivotal role in this, as you know, in their roles to accelerate and to empower our business and to support startups like us, right, by bridging us to parties whom we need to get connected to, helping us with framework and guidelines, you know, and to be present for advice and support whenever we call them. Yeah.
Okay, so there you have it. That was Amelia Tan, CEO and founder of Freya Capital Syndrome Berhad. I'm reporting from Expo 2020 Dubai. I'm Farhana Sheikh, and that's Notepad.